physically felt like it struck your heart. They said a word, they spoke a sentence over you, and in that moment it actually struck you and it physically hurt. And in some of our lives, even unfortunately, the negative is sometimes true. Some lie has been spoken over your life for 5 or 10 years or so, and it just keeps on hitting the same mark, and it brings forth death, emotionally and spiritually speaking. So when we do this morning, when we see God is saying, hey man, there might be a need of love in your life, then we say, okay Lord, we need to partner with your Holy Spirit within the bounds of your word. And then we receive what you do. You might not feel it at the moment, but it's like seeds that a farmer sows. He sows the seeds, and when the right time of right season comes, he will reap the harvest. So this morning we choose, as God does, and as we call, we choose to sow these seeds of truth, of scripture that cannot return void, of God's heart and His Spirit. We sow them. You might not walk out of here feeling all love and cuddly. Unless you feel like that now, Vimpy, what can I say? But you've sown seeds with the power of the tongue through the Spirit of God. So we're going to trust God for that. Can I get an amen to that, please? Amen. Thank you, Demi and team. Don't know where the rest of the team ran off to. Thank you for that. It was unorthodox. It was good. So if I cut off half of the Holy Spirit cut off half of their songs, I apologize, but that second song just, I believe, rocked all of our hearts. And it was just epitomized, I believe, what God wanted to do this morning. So thank you for that. It was, I don't know who sings it, but I'm going to download it and get it, buy it. It's really amazing. And it really touched my heart. Let's quickly pray. We've got a couple of minutes to share the word. Lord, thank you. Thank you not for formula, but for substance. Thank you for structure, yes, but thank you for life within that. Whatever relational structure, church service structure, nature structure, but thank you for all of that, Lord, but we acknowledge that if your substance, life, and heart is not in it, it will not bear fruit. But thank you, Lord, that whatever you do this morning, through your Spirit, through your love, through your word, will bear fruit. God, what we touch on today, no man can open in another man's heart. But we know that God can. Christ can open up this thing in hearts. So I declare my need. Not only today, but for the rest of the years that I may minister, Lord, I declare my need that I cannot open up. I do not have the key personally, but you through me, through your word, can open up this in hearts, in the hearts of man. And I pray that it shall be so. Amen. Cool. So we've been chatting about being anchored. I think we're starting to wrap up the series now. We're at number 9. I don't know if we should push through for number 10, but yeah, we're probably going to wrap it up. We say to each other, let's heed to the Lord's voice. He said to us at the end of last year, for this year, be anchored. You're anchored not to drift along or not to run ashore. So wherever your life is, you can ask the Holy Spirit in this time, like for us as a church, God, how can I be anchored? Where should I be anchored, and where is my anchors? Where am I anchored at the moment? Where's my trust, in other words? What am I trusting? We said there's a couple of things. You can go to the next slide, please. There's a couple of main things that we said. Jesus Christ first is our anchor. Our anchor is inside. The Spirit of God is with us. The Word is very important to our lives, and we need to stay in the Word of God. The Holy Spirit, God's love for us first. Community is important, Chris said. Our testimonies of what God has done. The fear of the Lord. We need a new wineskin of God is wanting to impart something new to us. And now currently we're just spending a bit of time of being anchored in a righteous, truthful, and biblical identity. Who wants to know their true identity, and who wants to live in that? All of us. We live in a bit of a demagogue world. But before I get there, I used this one quote before, but it just speaks to my heart. None are more hopelessly enslaved than those who falsely believe they are free. None are more hopelessly enslaved than those who falsely believe that they are free. We live in a culture where people think they know what freedom is. And yet, the fruit of that is brokenness. The fruit of that is death. The fruit of that is death of relationships, of many of things. And so our heart is not to falsely believe, oh, we're free, and yet we're enslaved or in bondage. Our heart is to say, Lord, help us. And I believe much of that has to do with the foundation of identity. What am I building on? Who am I? Who am I? We said this a couple of times before, but I believe it's important and one of the anchors for our anchor series. Last time we spoke about identity, I said first identity that is important. The first thing to know is my identity as a Christian, as a believer, need to be in Christ. It needs to be in Christ. That's what the word says all over. Why do we need to know? Because we're in a broken world, a confused generation. And that's exactly, by the way, what the tempter, what the enemy asked Jesus in Matthew 4. Who are you? If you are the Son of God, etc. Now, just lastly, before we move on to today's leg, the one leg was in Christ last time. Two important things is, you can go to the next slide, please. You are a new creation. If today you are here and you believe in Jesus Christ, you've received Him as your Lord and Savior, you are a new creation. Who's been bugged by the things of old? Yes, we all do. But it's a renewal of the mind. It is a process. It's a bit of war that happens in our lives to know and get to that fullness. You don't become a new creation. You are a new creation. You get to walk in it. You get to walk it out. You are a new creation. Word says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and look, new things have come. So that's one thing to remember. Be anchored in that truth. I am a new creation. Even though I crave for the things of old, my flesh is sometimes weak. My spirit is willing. Lord, help me. I'm a new creation. And then secondly, I said the enemy can't have an American accent. The enemy cannot challenge you, question you, or argue with a dead man. If I'm truly hidden in Christ, dead man, so to speak, the enemy can't touch me because of Christ, because of His blood. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Now, as we did this morning, as we prayed together, that's a very good verse to remember. That's something to put in your car. That's something to write in your mirror, on your fridge, or whatever. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself up for me. So guys, remember that. What are we being anchored to today? I said one leg is being in Christ. And the other one I today want to touch on is sonship. One was in Christ. I believe the other one is like Christ. So we want to do things in Christ. I want an identity in Christ. And then I also want to be identified like Christ. I had two most amazing conversations this last two or so weeks. One was with a believer, a very successful believer in ministry. Very successful, great guy, awesome guy. So at the top of his game, so to speak. And the other was with a non-believer. It's a guy that is in business. He probably earns as much as all of us together per year. And he's really brilliant. And he's actually came to that place about 2 years ago, he said to me. And I had a conversation with both of them. And I like to think a lot, and I like to scan, and I like to ask God, what is wisdom? And I was just looking upon which foundation have both of them built. And in fact, I believe there's question marks in my heart in both cases. There was things that God highlighted to me in both instances that I need to take heed to, so that I can't call it a mistake, but so that I build on the right foundation. What is the foundation that you are building your life upon? We're going to get back to the two examples just now. What are the foundation? What is the foundation, the identity foundation that you're building your life on or your Christianity on? We are a following of who again? Jesus. Thanks, Ralph. A little spiritual answer. But that's exactly it. We're followers of Jesus. So when we ask these big questions in life, we simply go to Christ. What is the foundation that Christ built his life upon on this earth? What is the identity foundation he built his life on? What was he anchored to? Now, firstly, Jesus had a job to do, right? What was the job? What was the job that Jesus had to come and do? To die. Yeah, a bit more than that. Seek and save the lost. Destroy the works of the enemy, right? He had a job to do. What did he do for 30 years? Well, not 30 years, but did he have employment? Did he have his own job before he went into full-time ministry? He made stuff with wood. Yeah. He was a carpenter. Mark 6:3 says, "Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense with him. So he had a job as well up until the age of 30. Am I right? Great. So he had stuff to do. He came to earth to do stuff. Can I get an amen on that? Great. Jesus came to earth. We are looking to Christ. We're speaking about identity today. He was from Nazareth. He was a carpenter. And then very spiritually, at the age of 30, he went into full-time ministry. Very important. Now, he had a job to do, a further job to do. He had offices, so to speak. What was the offices of Christ? Prophet, priest, and king. What did you have? The streets. Yes. Really enjoyed worship. Thanks, Demi. So he had three offices. At least he was actually an apostle as well. But let's focus on those three. He had stuff to do. He was a carpenter, and then he was elevated in a spiritual function. And then he had three offices. The three offices were the following: prophet, priest, and king. You can go look at it in scripture. We can't stand still there. Now quickly start thinking about yourself. What is your carpentry? What are you doing? What is the work you're doing? And then moreover, spiritually, what is the offices that you walk into? You read Ephesians 4? It speaks of the prophets, the priests, of the prophets, the pastor, the evangelist, teacher, and the other, the apostle. So it's five offices that you can walk in spiritually. What are the things that you do? Just quickly. Anyone who wants to say, "I'm the prophet"? Not today. Oh, okay, cool. Amen, Stephen. And then you've got a job as well. So we've got these functionalities, we've got these functions, these offices, just like Christ. Remember, we're speaking about identity. We're going to get back to that. What I noted in both conversations I had with two very well-esteemed young gentlemen, but a little bit older than me, at the top of their games, one spiritually, one in business. What I've noted is that there's a great emphasis in both of their lives of their functionality in office. I can't say, and I don't say this, it's just something that made me think. So I'm not making any judgment. I was just wondering, what is the basis? What is the foundation upon which you're building your life? Is it your function in office? Or your vocation? Or upon what are you really building? Because whatever one speaks, whatever comes from the mouth, will most assuredly tell you what is in the heart. Where is your focus, in other words? This is all going to make sense just now, or so I trust the Lord. Will your identity undergird your Christianity, or will your functions undergird your Christianity? Just quickly think with me again. Can miss other stuff, but don't miss this. Does your identity undergird, become the foundation, or it the foundation of your Christianity, of your life, of your walk, or your function or office? Is it what you have to do that determines who you are, or is it who you are that determines who you are? We're going to look at scripture. We're looking to Christ for identity, and we want to do it the way he does it. He had a lot to do. But I want to go as far as to say that determined not who he was. Can I say that? Please do test that. That's your job. confess what I say. Let's see how God sees it. We go to Scripture again. You know this, and I've quoted this a lot, and I'll do it in the future again because I love it. Matthew 3:16. You can go to the next one. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove. Praise God. And coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." This is who he is. Hey world, this is who he is. A voice did not come down from heaven and say, "This is my beloved priest, king, or prophet to be." A voice of heaven did not come and say, "This is my beloved little carpenter. He'll make lots of money and be quite successful. You'll still buy his products in 2017 at Macro." No, he did not say that. He said, "This is my son in whom I'm well pleased." Poof, foundation laid. Foundation laid. Beautiful, beautiful as it is. Ironic as it is. When do we applaud people? It's once they finish the race. It's like going to Tom Philip. He likes cycling. The Epic. And I go to him at the start of the Epic and I say, "Tom Philip, ek is trots op jou. Wel gedaan." And he's not even put a foot on his, or his behind on his bicycle. We applaud people when they achieve. We applaud people when they're successful in their office, when they do their job. We applaud them. We say, "Great, well done. I am pleased with you. Jy het 'n A gemiddeld gekry, my kind. Jy het jou graad gekry, cum laude. Prys die Here. I am pleased with you." But what does God come and do? He says, "No. This is my son in whom I'm well pleased," even before he's done his job. That's grace. Man, that's grace. "This is my son in whom I'm well pleased." He's not even close to the cross yet. 3 hard years lies ahead. He needs to be spot on in doing his job. This is the business end of Christ's life. And before he starts, before he lifts a pinky, before he does anything, before he does a steekwerk, God says, "Well done. I'm pleased." Do you hear the heart of God this morning? Do you hear what he's saying to you? Not before you're the perfect Christian, "I love you." Not before you've done everything right and you read your Bible more than enough and you've done all the courses that Shofar can humanly possibly ask you to do. Is he pleased? No, he says, once you say yes, the moment you say Christ is King, "I'm pleased." That's crazy. That kind of that just messes with our minds. It doesn't mind. It just totally messes with the way in which our culture operates. Sonship, by the way, is a biblical sonship, is a position in the spirit reserved for those who have God as their father. You kind of got that. And by the way, if I speak son the whole time, please, it includes daughters. It does include daughters, most of all the time. It may not make jokes and then lose somebody. It's not a gender biased and it's not based upon gender. Sons and daughters are all sons of God. So please, do not worry about that. God was not firstly pleased with the offices of Jesus Christ, but his mere identity as son. Now I can be a pastor or a dominee. God is not pleased in that. He was pleased the moment, the day I said yes to Christ, fully, totally surrendered, he was pleased. And his heart for Christ in that moment was his heart for me in my moment when I received Christ. "This is my son in whom I will be." I would love to be a prophet, apostle, pastor of the Lord, bearing lots and lots and lots of fruit, but it will not change a thing of God being pleased. And God saying, "My son, built upon identity." And again, going to the two conversations I had again, not judging anybody, but just asking my own questions for my own life, for my own heart, because I am responsible with the Lord's grace for my own, to walk out my own salvation with fear and trembling, asking these questions, thinking, I need to be careful, firstly, not to build myself on human and worldly success, because this gentleman was really in a distraught position, because he said he had reached the epitome of height in his industry. He makes scary amounts of money, has scary amounts of influence, and all he actually was needing all of the time was just a pat on the back, somebody saying, well done. And he just realized that he didn't have a father the way in which he needed a father. And so he was driven for years and years and years to reach this pinnacle point. And 2 years down the line, he's just totally saying, what is life about? All my heart is actually yearning is just a pat on the back saying, you're okay. I love you. And so the foundation is upside down. And the guy in ministry also, it's just saying, yes, you're doing an amazing job. And yes, you're walking fully in that office that God has given you. But just make sure you remember the foundation of identity. It's not because you deserve, because I do a great job as a pastor. It's just because I'm a son. Moving on, it's grace. Say, it's grace. That retief will finish in time. That's by the way, that's prophesying and speaking life, by the way. Orphans labor for favor and identity, but a son begins from a place of acceptance. Orphans will always try to strive. An orphan spirit will always try to get by religious being by religious ways, will try to get to a place of sonship. True sons, through grace, lives from a place of sonship. Does that make sense? What is the identity that you are building on? What are you truly anchored to? Let's go to the Word of God that shows us so beautifully. Galatians 4:4, you've heard this before. When the time came to completion, God sent His Son, we've just read about that, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law so that they might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. Remember that. Crying, Abba, Father. What Spirit opens up our hearts to realize God is our Father? The Holy Spirit. Thank you, Annelies. Jy moet vir die res van die mense ook sê, dis wat gebeur. It is the Holy Spirit that unlocks our hearts to realize God is your Father. Funny enough, in Matthew 3, we were just there. In the moment Christ got baptized, who was the Spirit that came upon Him? The Holy Spirit, like a dove. In that moment, sonship. Poof, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. Well, here we see almost like a mirror image for what we can experience. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you're no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God. Going back to my question, on what foundation are we building? What is important? Your vocation, the thing you do, your job, your to-do list, your business, or even spiritually. We can have that here in church as well. Your office in the body, is that important? Your to-do list, is that the thing that defines you? Or is it God? This world saying, once you performed, you will earn. God says, you earn, now just go and do. He flips the switch upon us through grace, through love. Christ got sonship in that moment. God spoke it over Him. How do we obtain our sonship? We already said we don't earn it. Faith in Christ. And what He bought there, what we saw in Matthew 3, echoes in Galatians 4 for us. Faith in Christ. Not, have you done all the courses at your church? Have you read through the Bible 6 times? Etc., etc., etc. These are all good things, by the way, as the Holy Spirit leads you. But no, believing in Christ, adopting Him as your Savior. Now just quickly, we are in other words, sons of promise. and not sons through law. There's another place in Galatians where this is illustrated quite well. Let's quickly look at it. We don't have time to dig too deep. Tell me, those of you who want to be under the law, in other words, who's those who want to be under law? Let's take it here in our situation. Those of you that want to be all religious and say that I do this right and I do that right and I make this and I ek is so oulik here and ek is so oulik daar. I've been able to do so many things and tick all the boxes. He's speaking to them. Tell me, those of you who want to be under the law, don't you hear the law? For it is written that Abram had two sons, one by a slave and the other by a free woman. But the one by the slave was born according to the impulse of the flesh, while the one by the free woman was born as a result of a promise. One gets born by the impulse of the flesh. One tries to. One strives to. I want to belong. I want to be son. I want to be religiously astute and right and tick the boxes. But then you get the day. But the other can become a son because of the promise of God. Who's that promise for us? He sent his son Jesus. And now today we have faith in him. And so that unlocks the grace of becoming a son. Wonderful promise. These things are illustrated for the woman represents the two covenants. We can go on forever, but build not on what you do. Build not on your function. Build not on your office. Build not on your vocation, the job you do. Build upon your identity. And your identity will always so graciously be something that you did not deserve. I hope I'm taking you with, because I believe this is God's gold in his word. So build on that identity, and that identity comes through grace and faith. It's not performance. It's not by the law. It's not the work of the flesh. It's through the promise, not of the law. Now just quickly, what are the fruit of an anchored sonship? So once you say, yeah, I've got this sonship thing going down. I believe. Okay, cool. I am a son. What is the fruit of that in your life? Any of you that say that I'm a son of God and I'm really a son and daughter of God, what fruit have you seen in your life? By the way, just at the top of your authority, yes. Anything else? Peace and joy, yes. Peace and joy. Love for others, yes. Amen. Anything else that come to mind? Since you've realized that I'm a son of God and where you've walked in that true identity, what? Grace for others. Amen. Grace for others. We are sons and daughters of promise by grace through faith. Be anchored in that. Because once you're anchored in that, by the way, in that grace, you won't judge others. How I was whacked in that one conversation, in fact, probably in both, but especially in that one conversation I had, I was just so whacked of the little amount, if not nothing, no grace that I had in my heart for this person. But once it just switched on again that the sonship I've been given was by grace, as God had said, I just realized afresh the grace that God has on this particular individual. This is not a fixed list, by the way. It's just stuff that popped to mind that we're just quickly going to look at. The first fruit of sonship or anchored sonship is the following. You are led and you live by the Spirit of God. Now this again, everybody knows this, but it's another thing living it. You don't strive it. You don't push it out. Something God needs to do in your life, and you walk in obedience, and so it cultivates more fruit of the Spirit in your life. But a fruit that I will see in somebody's life of the fact that I know that they are truly a son or daughter will be that they walk by the Spirit and not by their own slim gedachtes. Because what does an orphan usually feel that they're on their own? They need to fight for themselves, and hence they need to make their own decisions. They've got unfortunately, because of hurt and rejection, they've got a way of not wanting to be led because they do not feel safe. So you can just quickly see in your life, where does this thing kick in? Where does the flags go up? You can quickly spot if this is an orphan spirit, in other words, slave mentality, or if this is true sonship. Because in sonship, you'll always be in a place where you know that you're safe and that you can be led. It's one that you can submit. Not submit because the pastor says so. No, submit because you trust. You feel safe and you are led. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We know what the fruit of the Spirit is. So if you want to know if you truly get down the sonship and if you walk in the Spirit of God, here's the fruit that we'll see. And I'm not saying I'll be here all of them. Please ask my wife afterwards. She can keep you busy. I don't, but praise God, I'm growing and I want to grow. And we're here to grow in this. The fruit of the Spirit is love. So you walk in love if you're a son of God. You walk in joy. You walk in peace. You walk in patience, even on the road, in kindness, goodness, in faith. You'll always walk in faith. You look not to your bank account, exactly what Ralph said earlier. You do not look to the stock exchange. You do not look even to the economic climate, firstly and foremostly. I'm not saying you're being stupid. But you're walking in faith, not by sight. Faith, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. I'm going to repeat them, even though we've got little time, because this is the fruit that we'll see in the sons of God. Sonship that we obtained by works, eh? Okay, Edna. No, by grace, guys. Thanks. You got that. The rest we'll be wrapping up soon. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, self-control. If these things are lacking, say, Lord, help me to catch sonship. Lord, please undergird my whole life foundationally with the truth of your grace and sonship in my life. This just brought me to another scripture I'm just quickly going to share. What does all of this mean in South Africa? You remember Friday was big hype. We had an awesome time in praying on Thursday. Now, you can be either on the one side saying, yes, we need to toy, we need to stand up, we need to stand on our rights, we need to take hands and arms, which is good. Or you can be in a place where you say, no, well, Christians, we don't get involved, etc. I'm not going to get into a long spiel about that. And I also believe you can make human change right around the earth a couple of times. I don't know if you're necessarily going to win the battle. But I would like to just invite you for a moment to Scripture, keeping in mind that sons of God bear fruit of God, fruit of the Spirit, which are the things that we've just chatted. Just bear that in mind. Let's look at Romans 8:18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Listen closely. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. It says the whole of creation wants you to walk in your sonship. The whole creation is just saying, Philip, ek wil net hê jy moet weet wie jy is in God. This all. Creation is just waiting that Annelies know who she is in Christ. The whole of creation is just yearning for Retief to know that no, he's not a lawyer. No, he's not an Afrikaner. No, he's not white. No, he's not Afrikaans. He's the Son of God. That is what creation wants. Not mocking all or knocking all of the other stuff that we might be. But primarily, that is what creation is longing for. Remember, we speak in context of South Africa. Listen closely. For the creation was subjected to the fragility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope, that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption. Corruption is what? Decay, ruin, perish, destroy. What are we seeing in our country? Why are people freaking out? They're freaking out about corruption, decay, things being broken, things being messed up. That's why people are freaking out. When will this stop? Scripture says. Creation just says, man, oh man, oh man, can the sons of God just please stand up? You're not going to fix this by political stuff. I'm not going to go into politics. Hallelujah. Scripture tells us how this can be fixed. If people know who they are. If people know who God created them to be, and if they bear that fruit, guess what? Corruption and the fallenness of sin and the decay of the enemy will be plucked from amongst us. Creation is saying, guys, wake up. See who you are. Walk in that identity. Bear its fruits. And you will be a blessing to the whole of creation. Sounds like a bit of a big job. But I believe it to be true. set free from the bondage of corruption and to obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves. And then it goes on. Creation just says, the sons and daughters need to wake up and see who they are. And if they stand up and see how beloved they are through grace. And then by that grace, God starts to form the fruit of His Spirit in their lives. Things will start to fall in place. It's called divine order through the divine love. Is this meaning anything to anybody? Amen. For me, it's quite huge. Other fruit of sonship is the following. You're no longer a slave of fear. Not only the CD in your car or bucky. No. The truth. You are no longer a slave of fear. If you walk in the true sonship of the Lord, if that undergirds, if that's the foundation, the identity that you've been given, you're no longer a slave of fear. You're also not an orphan anymore. If you felt ashamed and if you felt far from God, you're not an orphan anymore. Romans 8. So then, brothers, we are not obligated to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, there it is, these are the sons of God. Now listen up. For you have not received the spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba Father. You don't have to fear anymore. You don't have to have this supernatural vacuum in your life, just constantly needing that pat on the back and then trying to do all of the things that you do to hit the highs in this world just because you want to hear your Abba Father give you a pat on the back. No, you can have it by grace, through love. You do not have to be an orphan anymore. God wants to love on you, and He wants to give you that true identity. Last two things about the fruit of sonship. There's a sonship blessing. This is a whole sermon series on its own, but you've seen in Luke 15 the prodigal son. And the prodigal son lost everything, and when he came back, they had to work a bit before he was given something, right? No, he wasn't. The father, in fact, as he was still coming down the road, the father lifted up his pajamas, his skirt, his thingy-majiggy that he had on, and he ran to him and embraced him. And then he said to his helpers, to his slaves, he says, quickly, bring a robe, bring a pair of sandals, and bring a ring. We're currently doing this in Men's Monday, but these three things are beautiful. He comes, this guy, like us, don't deserve it. He's lost his sonship, but he's been given it back. And then he gives him a robe. You can go look at this symbolic use of that. The robe is the identity being restored. It gives him identity. The sandals of destiny, it's where you go, it's where you walk. It's a plan for your life. And then the ring speaks of authority. He had a signet ring to sign off ordinances or paperwork way back in the day. And so he gives him a ring of authority. So when we come to God, when we come into sonship through grace by faith in Christ, when we receive the Spirit that cries, Abba Father, what is the three things that God will restore? Your identity, by giving you a new robe. He covers you. He comes and hides you. You hide in Him. He gives you sandals. So I'm not knowing what to do with my life. I'm so confused. You can be so successful in business, as I said, but not knowing what life is about or what is this, the totality of life, or where should I go? He comes and He gives you sandals. He gives you a plan. And then He gives you authority to stand up in the Spirit and say, I'm a son of the Most High God. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that, not the thief, Jesus Christ is Lord. And He then gives you authority to trample upon snakes and scorpions. Luke 10:19. And over all of the authority of the enemy. So those are the three things that get restored. Last thing that I saw as just the fruit of sonship is to be secure and be sure. Guys, there's a lot of things that wants to define you. Out there in the world, those are obvious. But even in church and even in spiritual circles, over here and there and this and that, offers, doing this, what am I doing? There's a lot of things that want to define you, but there was, in the time that the word was written in Galatians 3, there was also a lot of things that define people. We've got so many people and so many stuff in our country. You've got races, you've got language, you've got tongues. How many languages do we have? 11 official languages. There's so many things. There's very poor people, there's poor, there's medium, there's middle class, there's the very rich, there's the uber rich, there's these influence, there's this political party and that. There's a lot of groupings. There's a lot of people being defined and put in certain walkies, in certain areas. And they had that in the word as well, in the time of scripture as well, when scripture was written as well. And I will never tell you what to think, and I will never suggest that you worry too much about these things, but I do want to hold the word before you. And just the freedom that can come in the simplicity of sonship, the simplicity of identity by God. Not mocking or taking away any of those other things, but just having them in the right order. Galatians 3:27 says, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, they have put on Christ like a garment." When you get to Christ, when you believe in Him, you put on a new garment. I'm speaking on behalf of myself. It's not politicking. It's just saying what I believe Scripture says. I, by the grace of God, has put on a new identity that He has given to me by grace. Put on Christ like a garment. There is no Jew or Greek. Now you can put this in our context if you want. There's no Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female. And by the way, I'm not knocking anybody that's suffering. Any small minority group that's really truly suffering. I'm not saying, oh, just excuse that. No, we need to stand up. We need to help and love. But yes, we can help. We can give mercy. But the best mercy I believe you can give is to say that you are a son or a daughter of God through Christ Jesus. And as He restores and builds, and you bear that fruit, it will take you where God wants to take you. Slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seeds, heirs according to the promise. Who wants to be an heir according to the promise? I want to be defined by the King of Kings. I want to be defined by our Maker. I just want to be defined the way the Word sets out for me. And by the Spirit of God that cries out, Abba Father. Will you stand with me, please? I said the last time, that this is not necessarily a teaching as much as I'm crying out, guys, we need to live this. It's one thing to say, oh, that makes sense, and that's a nice thought, that's a good idea out of Galatians. Yes, oh, I can meditate on that a little bit. No. May this not be a teaching, may this not be a sermon, may this be what we live and our lifestyle. Thanks. Let us close our eyes in prayer. Thank you, Christ, that you came to do an amazing job. You came to fulfill the most important job or function that there ever was under the sun, and we really appreciate that. But thank you that we know through Scripture and just experience that it was built upon a foundation of identity and your identity as a son of God. And thank you that you then had a freedom, and you showed us a freedom of not being identified through performance, but being identified through grace and love. And I pray that for every heart here this morning. If ever you were in a position where you identified yourself, or maybe your grouping culture or your family even have just identified and given you an identity that is based upon anything but sonship, and you want to just today say, Lord, I want to part with that, just raise your hand. Any false identity? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You see the hearts and hands. Thank you, God, that we just come and ask that you nullify the lies spoken over identities. And that sonship through grace, not performance, sonship through grace and faith in Christ will be the reality in these lives and hearts that you've just raised their hands. We thank you for that. through your Spirit. Because it's the Spirit that cries out, Abba Father. It's the Spirit that will lead us into all things. It's the Spirit that will help you and lead you in the truth in this matter. So thank you, Holy Spirit, for your anointing over these individuals. And then I want us to just pray as a church. Guys, creation wants us, wants the body, wants the children of God, wants believers all across the earth to just stand up and walk in their true identity. And I just want to pray for the body. Lord, you say in your word that at the end, there will come a time when you pull out your Spirit on all flesh. And we see when your Spirit is poured out, the first words that comes out is Abba Father. Well, the first thing that happens is the realization of sonship. So we're just standing in faith and say, Lord, will you please pour out your Spirit upon all flesh? Will you come by your grace? Just because Christ rose and he paid the price, because of that, the Spirit was sent. And I pray, Lord, that you will come in our church and in the area, Lord, in all the churches here, all of the believers, even if they're not in a ministry or church, or wherever they find themselves, that you afresh will pour out your Spirit upon them. Lord, not only in our area, but in this country, and especially on the 22nd of April, where people are getting together to pray. I pray, Lord, in our country, that you afresh will pour out your Spirit upon your people. And we're not all of a sudden going to become sons. We are sons, but the realization, just the awakening again of being sons and daughters of God will come upon your people, will come upon the church in South Africa in Jesus' name. We pray for that. We yearn for that. We knock for that and say, Lord, it's pretty obvious, but we need help. We need the help of the helper in this country. And the help of the helper will be that he helps us to walk by the Spirit and not the flesh, to bear the fruits of the Spirit. Because creation is saying, help us out, be the sons and the daughters. So we just say, sons and daughters of God in South Africa, awake. 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 Come out of your slumber, come out of your sleep. Awake to the love, awake to the truth, awake to God's heart for you. In Jesus' name. Thank you, God. We will not rid darkness with more darkness, but you rid darkness by putting on the light. Lord, put on your light over this country. But start with me in my house. Start with me and my household. In Jesus' name. We thank you for that, Father. We thank you for the seeds that you've sown this morning. Wherever we might have missed it, Lord, thank you that you just washed that away. But the seeds that you've sown into our hearts, Lord, that it will bear fruit. And lastly, if you're not sure if you're a son or a daughter, but today you just say, Lord, I want it. It's through faith. I just want to truly be a son and a daughter, a son or a daughter of God through faith in Christ. If you just say, yes, I want that. I just want to ask that you raise your hand briefly. Father God, thank you that do your full work in all of our hearts. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your Spirit that helps us in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Cool. Thanks, guys. There's coffee and cake. Please have some. Please stay around, hang around for a chat. If you need prayer in any of these areas, please come and pray with me or with us, and enjoy your week. God bless.